Infamous countdown. 3, 2, 1. What the fuck is up, everybody? Welcome to the Great Girth Podcast. One half of your favorite fat duo. That's me, Tony, with my other who is running into some technical difficulties, but he'll be here. We are joined, of course, by a new guest, host of We Are the Mess Podcast, Mr. Steve Jeezy. Steve, sir, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me on. It's been listening to you guys, and it's a pretty pleasure being on with you.
I've been listening to a lot of your stuff too, and I found it interesting because I was like, man, these guys are like similar to what we do, basically. I mean, it's very similar. I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you, we didn't start planning our episodes until recently, like real recent. Otherwise, we just throw on a mic, man, and we just kind of go from there. I mean,
basically, that's how ours is. We hit record, and whatever comes out, comes out.
Yeah, pretty much. That's
usually the best type of conversation, too, honestly. Just whatever flies out of people's mouths is what happens sometimes.
I think it is, man, because I've come to find that interviewing people on this show who I don't have anything in common with is kind of difficult because you have to figure out the right questions. And I'm not a person that likes to ask dull-ass questions. I like to start out with interesting things because, going back to what I was saying, I found that those people that we were talking to were people that didn't actually like talking about what they do for a living or what their podcast is about. They were more or less interested in joining in on the fun.
Yeah.
Whatever that fun is. I mean, God damn it. Here it goes again. Fucking skipping. Anyway, I would like to start this out with a simple question for all of us. Because speaking of weird topics, this my way of getting to know people, man, is by throwing weird shit at the wall and seeing like how we can go grabbing for it first. So
let's get weird, bro. Let's do it.
This one is for everybody here. So did you guys know that Charles Manson was, and I say was because clearly he's not here anymore, was a beautiful singer? He had a beautiful singing voice.
I don't doubt that, honestly. If you've seen the videos of him being just weird and stuff, and his little cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, he does weird shit like that, man. And he seems like somebody that'd just be into something like that. I mean, I don't doubt it. It's just, yeah, it is weird to think about.
Well, I guess he recorded some of these, and I don't know who or what made this happen, but you can find them on, like, iTunes and Spotify, and so I looked it up to listen to him, and they're not necessarily the greatest songs in the world, but he was close to the Beatles in terms of singing. It was kind of like, oh, ironic. I only bring that up because it's been on my mind. iTunes? Yeah, iTunes. You can find it on Spotify, probably YouTube.
Okay. Where does that go to?
Dude, I know. There's like at least what I found is 4 songs. There's 4 songs. Someone told me there's more than that, but I have found 4 songs where you can hear him singing and you're like, holy shit, this guy was actually pretty good, which is really bizarre to say considering, I mean, I guess it depends on what your take is. I only brought it up because it's been on my fucking head all day. Austin and I like to do a little segment where we talk about what we've been doing, what you've been reading, what you've been watching. For me personally, reading a book called Chaos. Can't remember the name of the author, but it's a contradiction to the Manson murders or something along those lines. But that shit's been on my mind for that reason. And then to go find it on these fucking platforms was even more interesting. Just, again, considering the fact that dude was a macabre killer. Well, you know, technically not, but
anyway. Little fun fact about Charles Manson. I used to live in a town, or it's right next to me still. I moved away from it. It's just like the next town over called Vacaville. And we have a prison there, and he stayed at that prison for a minute.
Shit, dude. I mean, I know he's been in and out of prison. The stories about him are interesting if you actually dive into him. Not the murders, but his background, like how he spent a lot of time in prison. And the simple fact that this is true, too, you can Google this. I learned this today. Apparently, at one point, he was on an FBI watch list. For what reason, I haven't got into yet, but found that out. And I was like, yeah, that don't shock me at all. I mean, look at his rap sheet. But everything about him kind of screamed insane. But it depends on what your take is on those events, because there's so much out there now that people question everything like it's a conspiracy theory, which rightfully so. I'm a conspiracy theorist myself. I love to talk about that shit, even though I don't believe most of it. But it's fun to talk about.
Honestly, it's just the idea behind things when it comes to conspiracy theories. I mean, that's all they are at the end of the day, is just theories. But still, like, the evidence that kind of proves them to that point of being real, is that's what's captivating about stuff like that. And I'll look up the most randomest shit. If you type in the most randomest thing, you'll get a conspiracy theory for it. I think like our second or third episode when we talked conspiracy theories, and there's even one for like the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just theory that it was sunk on purpose because there was some high profile people there that needed to be dealt with. So why not make it look like an accident, sink the whole damn boat?
I mean, it's hard not to look into it too. I mean, I'm watching this show right now on Netflix called American Conspiracy, the Octopus Murders or whatever. And I'm not going to go too much into what that's about, but basically I learned from that if you look up names of people and events, you'll find they have links to all types of government agencies or people that have those links, and they're all somehow intertwined. And I can see why people go crazy for that reason, because all it really takes is looking up a celebrity, finding out that celebrity at one point worked for a security company, that company has a shady background, and then so on and so forth. So, I mean, it can send you down a rabbit hole, but that's why I enjoy those, man. I like I said, I don't believe most conspiracy theories. I think a lot of them are just, you know, tall tales, but
what would you say is the craziest one that you do think is real?
The craziest one that I think is real? I know this is so generic. That's the thing, man. My answer is going to be so fucking Roswell, the Roswell crash, because I'm a big believer in aliens, man. I'm positive that shit's real. But there's so much evidence that says it's not. I just don't fucking buy it, dude. I've even looked at, like, archive fucking newspaper clippings.
Well, the way that there's still people out there that don't believe in aliens, it's like, just think about it, man. You got this massive universe. Planets all around it. You're gonna tell me where are the only things kicking out here? Where are the only things that there's something out there?
There's got to be something. I mean, even if you don't ever see anything, it's got to be worth wondering. Like, there's just no way it's us here. But it really depends.
The thing is that not people who don't believe in aliens, a lot of times it's not that they don't believe in aliens; they don't believe they're here.
Here, that's
like
actual planet.
Like it's probable there's aliens out there, but they're not here.
Right. No, that's
here.
Oh, I believe they visited.
Everybody has a smartphone with like one of the great, like with the best cameras in the world, and every time we get a picture of a thing, it just happens to be like 20 grain. Like it was taken in 1980. Like I took this picture on Tuesday with my iPhone, and somehow that thing looks like it's from a security camera from 1987.
Exactly, man. It's like they make this whole propaganda, like the latest Bigfoot sighting. Like they show previews in the commercials of these new cameras coming out. Look how fucking far you can zoom into this. It's fucking clarity and everything. And then you see something like alien type in there, and it's just like the worst fucking picture you've ever. Like they took it with one of them big fucking flash camera things that they used back in the 20s.
It's weird too, because it is questionable how any person I've met that had a video or a picture of a UFO of sorts, the phone went out. Like the phone just died on him. Which,
yeah, the big thing is, like,
in a sense,
anything happens, like something small, like horrible happens, and immediately we know everybody who's involved, where they're from, where they went. But you're telling me that, like, one guy sees a fucking alien and the whole world is not like, let's look.
Well, so many people falsify this shit too. So many people have made up, because I believe I've seen some shit, but I've met people that say the same and they sound crazy to me. But if I were to look in the mirror and talk, I'd probably sound crazy to them too. So, I mean, I definitely believe, dude, that, like, here's the thing. I'm a Christian, but, dude, I do believe that aliens are out there. I believe they've been here. I believe our government plays a role in their arrival here. I'm not necessarily saying that they set the whole thing up. I'm just saying that I think our government has already made contact with them a long fucking time ago and has continued to work with them, in my opinion. But this whole like, you know, yes, UFOs are real. No, they're not aliens. We just know that they're beyond our radar. To me, that's a sign that they're saying maybe it's time to start letting people know, yes, there are aliens out there, but it would be easier if we told them now, because it won't shock them as much when they're used to that information. When 30 years from now they find out we've always known about aliens, it's not going to bother people, because they already know.
Is that why you think it's more of a secret thing? It's a shock factor? Like, you think people go in a worldwide panic type thing?
Yeah, I think they want people to be able to look at it and go, oh, okay. Because
I've always wondered, like, what's the big deal in admitting it? Like, what would it change?
Oh, dude, it would rewrite history if you think about it, because...
I know that, but, like, in a sense that, like, if I saw on TV right now that they're like, oh, you know, here's an alien, we've known about this. Me already being a believer, I'd be like, I already fucking knew that. And I'm going to get up and go to work tomorrow the next day. Like, nothing, like, you know what I mean? Like, nothing changes for me. But, like, I guess I can get in the sense of the worldwide panic of it. But, like, I'd just fucking do it. Just fucking tell
them. We can't get the government to keep a secret about, like easily, like, kept secrets about, like, military activities. What makes you think that we could get thousands and thousands of people to stay shut up, even though they could make millions of dollars on book deals and TV interviews? But, like, magically, when it comes to aliens, no other thing, like, no one keeps their mouth shut about anything else, but magically aliens, everybody not going to be quiet.
Well, because if you look at our past, man, our government is so shady. I think a lot of the shit that they didn't keep secrets about, I feel like those were planted purposely. I do think the government plays a huge role in, like, our world, our society. Not necessarily. See, here's the thing. I don't really believe in a secret government, like a dark, you know, shady government, but
stuff.
Yeah, I don't believe in all that bullshit, but what I believe in is pretty close to that. I do think that there is a form of people, a higher up group of people that have been calling the shots since the beginning of time, that have had people killed, have basically said, this is who's going to be a snub piece. This is the information that's going to get out. I personally think, dude, that the CIA has been involved in a lot of shit in our history. I think they've kind of done a lot of stuff as an experiment to see how we as a society react. For example, I sometimes think that maybe that train derailment that happened that killed a bunch of people wasn't an accident. I have a feeling the government fucking probably set that up because they wanted to unleash a chain of events. I feel like there is a form of people out there that are making this shit happen in real time.
I feel like that's kind of like
Tony, the thing I was talking about. You give these people too much credit. You think they're smart. I know these people. They're stupid. Like, these people can't coordinate, like, passing legislation that's, like, everybody agrees on. You think that these morons...
I think those people are puppets, though, man. I think they're just mouthpieces. I think a lot of them are just paid to kind of do their part, play their role. Not all of them, because I'm sure there's...
Like, you're talking about how there's, like, you know, a higher... I think that's somebody we've never even seen before.
That's what I'm saying. I think that it's someone we don't know their name.
Like puppets and shit, but...
Well, look at all these stories, man. Like, celebrities that have been pushed to answer questions, or people that have been somehow attached to all these events, and they've all said, like, hey, I can't talk about this because there's a lot of people involved. Or they say something as simple as, that name you just mentioned to me can get you killed. Shit like that, and, like, no one ever wants to talk about it. That's where I'm like, oh, yeah, the people that are in charge are people we've never seen or heard of. In fact, the ones we have seen or heard of that we're led to believe are the evil men, again, mouthpieces. They're pawns. But I could also just be fucking out my mind, because Austin has a point in the fact that our government's retarded. And they really are, dude. They have a fucking track history. It doesn't really matter what side it is. The government just sucks all around.
And this is my thing with, like, Flat Earth and, like, Bush did 9/11 and a bunch of these, like, super complex, like, multi-year, multi-administration, spanning, like PSYOP crap. Like, do you think our government is even remotely smart enough to pull this off? They can't fix potholes, let alone orchestrate a multi-year, multi-organization conspiracy to cover up thousands and thousands of pieces of information and convince or force our enemies to follow along with these craziness.
For me, the secrecy of everything, I'm just over the shit. Man, just fucking tell us, just bring the aliens out.
Right. They
can help us build all the shit that we need to do. Just fucking bring them out right now. They could help with the PSX that needs to come out sooner or later. I mean, they're living rent-free here if they're here doing shit. You know what I mean? Just bring them out. And, like, Austin's talking about, like, all the other shit, like, even, like, the flat earth shit, like,
yeah,
like, with the back and forth of flat earth, round earth, like, at the end of the day, I'm a round earth guy. I can't believe I have to say that. But when you think about it at the end, what if we were wrong and it was flat? Like,
right.
This shit. It's flat. I just told you, I'm just going to go to work the next day like it's a fucking round planet. What are the benefits of lying about what shape the fucking planet is? I don't
right. get
that these are things that, like, people are, like, fighting over when it comes to shit like that.
Well, I wonder, like, touching back on what you were saying, what is so hard for them to, like, what's the damage in admitting this shit? Like, why can't somebody just come out and say...
No. Yeah, who gives a shit? Just fucking come forward. Just right, say
like, and even like a lot of things, the things that people fight over, things that have been proven and are now conspiracy theories, even though they've been proven as true. Like, I just don't get why somebody in our government can't come out and go, you know what? Yeah, our government has done some terrible things. We definitely were involved in assassinations of our own people and presidents, not saying names. But why can't they say that shit? Because we all believe it at this point. Well, most people, not everyone. But I think that... I think that, yeah, the panic does have to do with the fact that there are people out there that truly believe our government is not capable of evil.
And there's, it's like, for them to say that, for like, if they were to come forward right now, I've talked about this before, and just come forward with everything, I'm sure obviously there's going to be a side of people that panic. There's going to be a side of people that are going to fucking rebel.
Oh, yeah.
Fight back. But, like, at the end of the day, us as civilians, people, we can't beat the government. You know what I mean? We could stay locked up in the house with all the guns we got. And as soon as the military kicks in the door, you know what I mean? We're only going to take a couple out for anything happens. Like, so it's like, what are they hiding? Just openly come out. Just fucking tell everybody what you're doing. Like, it's not a big deal. Most of us already fucking know this shit.
Dude. And honestly, like, I've firmly cemented my impression on the government with secrets by saying simply that, I think that if they came out and told us everything, sure, things would change. But they kind of have a hold of us because nobody's stopping the government. And I believe it to the point that I really do think that, yes, we definitely have the potential of a zombie apocalypse and this and that. However, the idea of an apocalypse happening, I fucking doubt it, dude. I think our government is so deep in the fucking water that they could stop that shit from happening before anyone would really know about it.
When it comes down to, I believe they're capable of anything.
Dude, like, yeah, I think that they're capable of any
fucking. They could have stopped COVID before when it was first announced. You know what I mean? There's that control factor of being the leader of the world, where it's just like, hold on, let's just wait and let this play out. Maybe we could thin out numbers or something like that. And the shit is wild, man. It's wild. And look how serious they made COVID. Okay. The mask thing, get your shots or you're fired and this and that. Where's that at now?
Right.
They forced that on you to get your shots and this and that, to the point where it's like, who cares if you have it now?
But yeah, dude, people don't even talk about it anymore.
At that point, for fucking nothing. Now it's not even a thing. And even if you get it, because COVID is still around technically, and even if you catch it, nobody gives a shit anymore.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty much
a common cold. I just caught it back in August, and all they did was say, okay, we'll just take off work, and whenever you're better, come on back. No more protocol of, like, isolate yourself for this, do that, make sure you get the shot for this. Da, da, da. It's, like, so blown out. It's just, like, it's gone now. But at the time, it was, like, they forced people to do this shit, and now it's meaningless.
Well, and they put a lot of fear in people, too. I believe it was mishandled on purpose, especially by the media, man. What better way to spread fear than to tell people every day, like, dude, we're all going to die. There's a chance that we're all going to die.
Exactly.
I was one of those people that believed it, dude, because I would watch the news religiously. Like, I would watch it to the point that I was actually receiving updates on this shit, and it was stressing me out. And then I finally caught COVID, like, 6 months after they announced it was in Colorado, which I believe it was in Colorado before they even announced it, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was probably already here. But I caught it. It put me on my ass. I've had flus worse than it, so I was fine. And even in the hospital, man, I was freaking out, and the doctors were like, dude, you're all right. Like, you're going to be fine.
Real, real early then, if you had to go to the hospital for it.
Well, I caught it, like, when was this shit? This was, like, because they started reporting on it in like November of 2019 or a little bit early.
They mentioned that the first, there was like a boat cruise and like an American first caught it like March or February of 2020.
Yeah. And see, I caught mine in April of 2020 and it fucked me up. I will admit that, but see, like, here's the thing is I was hospitalized for it because I blacked out. I don't remember it. And like, I just,
oh shit.
I had a headache for like fucking days, dude. And I couldn't figure out why. And my wife's like, you're going to the hospital. So she makes me go, and she has COVID too. So she has to stay home with our kids and watch them while they're all sick as well. I get there and it feels like I'm going to fall. And they're like, oh, well, no wonder you have a headache, dude. You can't fucking breathe. And I'm like, yeah, man, fucking inhaler ain't helping, you know? And they were like, well, your oxygen temperature, it's like your oxygen levels like 79, between 79 and 82. We can't let you leave this hospital unless you're at least 90. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, fucking that's not happening, dude, because I feel like I'm going to die. And they're like, no, you're fine. And the doctor said something to me that kind of made me feel better. Or the person I saw, there we go, because those doctors, they come and go as they please. But the one guy I saw was like, you're going to go home in like 2-3 days. And I was like, what? Like, just still out of breath, still can barely walk. They put me on an oxygen tank. And I was like, dude, be real with me. Am I going to have to be put on a ventilator? And he's like, no, because if I put you on a ventilator, you're going to die. That's what the ventilator's for. It's just to keep you alive. And I was like, what the? He's like, yeah, so you're good. And I told him about, like, you know, how I fed into all that shit. And he's like, look, I'm just going to tell you as a doctor, man, that nothing spreads faster than fear. So keep that in mind. And I was like, okay. And then I was fine. I went home. It took me like 2 days to recover because really anyone that had COVID can tell you the fastest road to recovery is getting up and walking and actually doing shit, even when you feel like you're in pain and can't breathe.
Yeah.
But then I got it a second time, like 2 years ago, and not a fucking thing happened to me. I sat in my house for like 3 days, dude, just stressing the fuck out, and nothing happened. And they were like, you gotta wait another week. And now people that I work with are catching it. And the protocol, there is no protocol.
Yeah.
It really is just, hey, if you have a fever, stay home. If you don't have a fever, but you're showing symptoms or whatever, come to work with a mask on. That's it. Mm. So it's not even like what it was, which was corridors being taped off, you know, like unvaxxed here and vaxxed there, like just crazy fucking fascist shit. But it's not what it used to be. And I wonder how that happened so quickly, because what people don't understand is that whole period of time actually fucked up a lot of people. To the point that we're now raising a generation of kids that are going to think that behavior is normal, that probably have undiagnosed fucking trauma now. Adults like us probably have undiagnosed depression or had depression, knew about it, and had to suffer at home for days, months on end.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no one's talking about the aftermath of COVID, like what happened to everybody. Because in my opinion, the government owes us a big fucking apology. And I think that they were doing it in the form of money, because they were like, you know what, fuck it. They don't know this yet, but this is America's free trial to socialism. That's my conspiracy theory on COVID, dude. I think that shit was a bunch of bullshit, too. I mean, no, like the disease was for real, but how far they went to cover that up and try to say that, oh, it wasn't a fucking accident in a lab. Like, I don't believe China made it to fuck with us. I'm not one of those people. I do believe they were making it as an agent of war. Somebody somewhere fucked up. It got out. And they didn't want to say, you know what, our bad. Like, like that South Park episode. They're like, you know what, we're sorry, our bad.
Sorry.
But yeah, that's just, it's another thing that I'm like, why can't the government just come out and be like, yeah, we were doing something that didn't work.
Because at the end of the day, what are we going to do? All we're going to do is just kick the fucking TV in and just be like, you motherfuckers, blah, blah. But I mean,
yeah, us, like, who's actually going to rise up?
We can't do more than that. What are we going to do, cancel them? You're going to cancel the government?
Well, and that's like the only thing that we have, because of the fact that they're doing shit that we're not aware of. We're all sitting here arguing with each other over stupid shit, whether it be
politics. They love that shit, dude. They love the, oh, fuck, they're distracted arguing right now. We can continue on doing whatever we're doing. They're going to fight it out. They're going to be fine.
Yeah, dude, they know that. Well, for one, I think the reason they like that shit is because it keeps us really divided, because then they know that there's nothing that they have to really worry about. We're all so busy with each other. How the fuck is anyone going to ask these questions? And it would be better for them to take us down if we were able to help them rather than let's all unite. That's why they love that shit. And I think that they play a part in the media stirring up all the shit. Because I do blame the media for a lot of the problems we have in this country. I blame them for pretty much everything. I blame the media. I blame movies. You know, like, I blame fucking, I even blame schools to a certain degree. But I think that the government and the media play a big role in how our society works, how we're divided.
You'll never see the media talk about unity, united.
No, anything. It doesn't sell.
It's all about a story about one side and people fighting over that wrong side, but the people who are on that side will argue how much they're right about it.
Oh yeah. That's
all it is. They'll never talk about unity, united, nothing like that.
It wouldn't sell. They would be out of business, man. Those companies make money off people that are dumb enough to pay for it, because I was one of them. I can admit that there's an attraction to misery. There is something about reading about shitty stuff in the world that like fires you up for some reason. Because let's be honest, no one really likes reading about peaceful shit in the news. They want to be informed about terrible stuff. They don't want to say that, but you want to be informed about terrible shit. You don't want to know about how these fucking little kids went around and like took old people's dogs out for the day and shit. Like, no one cares about that, which is sad, because you're like, that would be a cool story to hear, that these fucking loser kids these loser kids in like an ethnic ghetto. What if like you heard a story about that? Like, oh, that's cool. We never hear that though. And yeah. if we hear something, it's usually like, okay, clearly these white kids are racist or whatever bullshit story they like to spin. And that just fires people up. Racism is a big topic that fires people up. That one and anything having to do with the whole trans shit, that stuff like fires people up. And that really does start the whole Civil War topic, which is like, all right, we got one side right here, one side right there. These two sides are going to fight back and forth about who's right. I've been involved in it myself. I think at the end of the day, everyone has their own opinion. It's just that because the media enforces this idea that you must join a band, everyone joins a band. They go with their little group. Even people that refuse to be part of a group somehow find themselves entangled in a group. Like, I really try to distance myself from a lot of political stuff, but I like politics, so I kind of fuck myself in that. And I find myself talking about it even on this show, which that's what this show was originally designed to do. But around the first year, we kind of got lost in talking about weird shit such as this or comic books and all that crap. But I tend to think that a lot of us are very much alike, but because we listen to people above us, we portray ourselves as something we're not. That's just my
what kind of people. The kind of people, though, that do freak me out is like how you're saying, when a story does come out and it's positive in some sort, is people who will still find a problem with it.
Yeah, what the fuck is that? I don't understand that shit. Can't
still take a positive story and take it as positive. That, like, for example, you say some kids walking a dog. They probably, you know, walked a pit bull. Those kids should not be around a dog like that.
Okay. Yeah, dude. It's always something.
People find negativity in everything. My wife, she had to get a restraining order on an ex. And so she put a Facebook post out because we couldn't find him. He kept ducking, dodging, making fake accounts, all this shit. She put a Facebook post out saying, if anybody sees him, let me know. He needs to be served with papers. And you would think, you know, you'd get people like, yeah, we'll keep a lookout, da, 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 you know, because he's a known woman beater.
Right. And
she got comments like, basically people just all like, you shouldn't be posting this. Hey, why don't you just go to the police? Why didn't you just say, this is so stupid. And it's like, even when you reach out for help in something.
Yeah, man. Get
negativity back. And it's like, this ain't even a post of who side what. I'm just asking, like, hey, if you see this guy, let us know. And it's like, you can tell who the people are who never had to deal with police in their life. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, man.
They think police solves everything. It doesn't. We've learned dealing with the police when it came to the restraining order that cops can't do. They are literally peace officers. That's what, you know, they're technically are. They're there to keep the peace. They cannot do anything unless you are literally there killing the person right then and there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And a lot of that's not even the fault of the police officers. It's a bunch of crazy idiot DAs and
mayors,
a corporate legal structure that actively seeks to undermine cops. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, the people that bitch about cops.
It's their code that they're following. We get it. Yeah. But like at the end of the day, that's what a cop is. He can't do anything. He was legit, you know, messaging her from fake accounts. But when we told the cops that, hey, this guy's breaking restraining order and this and then, all they can say is, can you prove it's him?
Can you prove it's him? Yeah. They need proof.
I mean, we can't. We know it's him for sure.
Right.
Saying shit that only they know about. But like, he changed his name to fucking Doe something. And it's just like,
Right. Okay,
well, if you can't, a cop constantly just keeps telling us, we can't do anything unless you can prove it's him. And it's just like, so for us, when we reach out for help and stuff like that, we get comments like, just go to the police and this and that. I would never do that. And it's like, you can tell people are who just don't, who never had it because they're, you know, so privileged. They fucking live off the land and fucking think everything's fine. And they just live in a society where like nothing bad happens to them. So they don't have to deal with police. They just think that's the way to go until something happens. And they'll figure out the hard way that you can't always go to the police for shit.
Well, and our society has been like structured to, I don't know about you guys, in my opinion anyway, our society has been structured to embrace criminals more than we would victims. And we embrace victims when they refuse to be a victor. So like when we have your case, for example, if you guys were famous people, I guarantee this motherfucker would be like Tupac status. There would be a whole group of people fucking siding with him. Because that's what the news and all those fuckers do, man. They make these career criminals famous. And then nobody knows about the victims or the family members. My dad used to always say this, and that kind of annoyed me as a kid because I idolized criminals as a kid. I mean, what fucking kid doesn't like rap and shit? But he used to say that it bothered the fuck out of him that everybody knew who the fucking, like, the Gambinos were. Everyone knows who Gotti was and all that. He's like, not a lot of people know who Joe Pistone is. Not a lot of people know who Elliot Ness is. Not a lot of people know who Melvin Purvis is. But they know who fucking Al Capone is and John Dillinger and all these guys. And he's like, you know, that's society, though. They make criminals heroes. And then the real heroes are people that get shit on or, you know, treated like shit. I've seen it, too. I mean, I've had my unfortunate run with the law before. Nothing negative. It's just people don't understand that cops can't really do much. And a lot of that comes back to those same people that made it to where those cops can't do much. Because what happens is when we live in a society where people bitch about police presence, their presence get cut down, like cut down in scale and size. And then the cops are essentially useless at that point. I'm a son of a police officer. And even back then in the 90s, when he was a cop, there was not much he could do about shit.
Yeah.
He just showed up to report stuff. That was it.
I've learned that, like I said, since dealing with this whole thing, we've learned that cops are literally there to keep the peace. They're peace officers. They can't really do much unless you're in the act doing it right then and there. So, I mean, we get it. It's their code. It's what they do. But, it's, you know, at the time, you know, we learned this thing. And fuck, man, I'm in California. So I live in a place where it's like I have more right to break into your home than you have to defend it. So, I mean, it's
which it's sucks. Where are you? If you don't mind me asking, where are you in California?
Like Bay Area.
Okay. Yeah. So definitely. Yeah.
I live basically about 40 miles east of Sacramento and then 40 miles west is like San Francisco. So I'm like dead center in between both those.
I would say Tony mentioned Elliot Ness. I want to clarify that dude's a piece of shit.
Well, yeah, in real life, he is. Yeah, now that we know for real that he's a piece of shit. Like, he wasn't, like, dude, here's the thing. This is, again, Hollywood's problem, portraying people in a way that's not true. Elliot Ness was a scumbag. He was a real piece of shit as a person and a cop at times. So he wasn't innocent.
That fucker was a communist.
Don't ruin my image of Elliot Ness. I like Kevin Costner's take. It seems authentic to me, even though I know it's bullshit. But yeah, no, dude, like, it's weird that we live in a time too where a lot of states are like that. Like Colorado's kind of like that. Like I've been told by police officers that the motherfucker needs to step foot in my home before I can actually execute him. Yeah, and I'm like, wait, so like both feet? And they were like, yes, both feet all the way in the doorway or all the way in the window. And I'm like, so wait a minute. If this motherfucker tried breaking in my window, woke my kids up, scared the shit out of them, which puts me in fucking fight or flight, and I go to the window to grab him, like, no, dude, come back in. They're like, yeah, that's assault. And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, the best you can do is find a way for him to fall in, and then it's fair game. And I was like, nah, dude, that's a little – I've never heard of that. I've never heard of a fucking – God damn it. Here we go again with this shit. I've never heard of something where essentially a stalker can hang outside someone's window and fucking, like, click on that window, and it's okay. So, like, that's fine.
Yeah, but at that point, it's probably worth getting the assault charge, to be honest.
I mean, seriously. I mean, at that point, it's like, fuck it, dude. You're gonna get locked up for this. Might as well, because even in California right now, the rules you're describing is like, I think they actually have to, like you said, be in the house.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, you still have to pick your aim right too, because if you shoot anywhere that's attempted murder style, like anything upper, you go down for that. So you have to like literally shoot them in the leg or something. But it's like, what sense does that make in a courtroom? You know what I mean?
That's because you got
grown men make these laws and they stand around a fucking table and go, that sounds fine. You know what I mean? Like, what sense does that make? Where's this coming from?
A lot of that, I think, is those young people our age that, I hate to be this guy, they are amongst the woke individuals that get in the old dude's ears and tell them, you know, this is progress, this is change. And when you're an old dude like Biden, you're not listening to shit. So it just goes in one ear and out the other. And he's like, yeah, sure, fuck it, whatever. But I do think it's a lot of the younger crowd, not even younger. Some of them are older people. I mean, look at figures like Al Sharpton, people like him, not him specifically, but people like him involved in politics that make these fucking stupid laws that are designed to protect criminals rather than the people who are the potential victims. And that's fucking stupid to me.
I just want to sit down with one of them who makes this shit, man, and just ask, like, why?
Right, like, why is everything designed for innocent people?
Don't just explain what the law is. Make it make sense. Tell me why it's appropriate to not take down an intruder. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't understand what. This shit's baffling, dude. I don't fucking it sounds like we're not making sense when we talk about it, but it's like I just have no words for it, because it ever hear something so just fucking stupid, you're like, but it makes you fucking babble. Like, I don't get it. Yeah,
that's most of the shit I hear in the news, because I still actively read news and watch shit. Not really to get my information on the world. It's more or less to see who all is following along, because I've learned when a bunch of sources are reporting on something, it's worth taking note that there might be some truth to it. But when they're all in their own little fucking corner writing different things, that's when shit gets interesting. You're like, yeah, this is where it's a war for supremacy. This is where we get to find out if the white dude's innocent or not. And because he's white, probably not, according to their standards.
All I'm saying is we need more Gary Plouchets in the world.
But see, that's
my hero.
But see, that's the beauty of podcasting. We can make these shows to talk about them, which for me, that was the general reason. But why did you guys start a podcast? What was that moment where you thought, you know what, fuck it, let's do this?
So honestly, with us, I mean, when it came to making a podcast, because when I talked to you, Tony, a little bit of, you know, I told you, like, you know, I'm not big into politics or anything. I'm a nerd at heart. All I do is work, and then I come home, and me and my wife love playing video games all the time. I work at a oil refinery, and my co-host, he used to work in there now, but he's a teacher for our union, so he teaches the apprentices that come into the trade and everything. So our podcast idea really came from us gaming. We'd be playing Call of Duty or something like that. We're like locked up in a squad and stuff, and guns are going off, people are fighting, yelling, covering fire, and all this shit. And meanwhile, while everybody's making these call outs and trying to, you know, get the team riled up, me and my co-host Junior are arguing about how to properly roast a pig. So it's like, it's just, so we have these debates that like we just fall into all the time while we were gaming, and just like the friends we played with and stuff like that. We're like, you guys should really start something to talk about your debates and stuff like that. And at the time, I was just kind of like, No, we don't need to do that. I mean, because, I mean, yeah, the debates could be funny, but it doesn't mean that everybody else finds it funny. You know what I mean? So after a while, they kept, you know, even my wife, she was just like, you guys should at least try it. So we tried it. And honestly, I love it. I love it. Took off with it. And like I said, we're not super, you know, when it comes to the politics. So we try to keep everything entertainment wise. We want to make, even if we do talk politics, we want to make light of it, make fun of it or whatever. So we talk from anything to, like, you know, the new movies that come out, the new games that come out, trendy news stories that come out and stuff like that. And just, we like to keep the, just kind of like how, you know, you two do it now, just kind of keep the conversation open, hit record, and whatever happens, happens.
That's how
I've kind of turned this into, we keep going because it's like, it's an excuse to make sure that we talk to each other that week. Life gets so insane, especially this time of year, it's great that we're forced to, like, take an hour, stop, have a discussion. I think it keeps us closer than if we didn't have it. So,
well, you guys don't live in the same area, right? You guys are.
We're about 45 minutes, an hour away from each other now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, we live in the same state, but when we started this, I had done it because I had a podcast with another friend that just didn't work out. And so I told Austin, hey, I'm going to start a podcast. Do you want to be my first guest? And lo and behold, my daughter was in contact with someone in her school that had COVID, and Austin had been around me for 24 hours while she was with us. So we all got stuck in that fucking house for like 2 weeks, and we just filmed a bunch of episodes back to back. And I was like, yeah, dude, let's just do this full time. Fuck it. And
so Austin,
it started out as a
guest.
Yeah.
Originally, yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's the weirdest story. He's a family friend, kind of. That's the best way I can tell.
So we are as close to being related as you can be without being. It's like his wife's mom's adopted dad's married my second married my grandma, who's my dad, who's it's insane.
Yeah, so him and my wife technically aren't even related, but they're family. And so she's like, this is my cousin.
It's like when you talk to that one sleazy guy at work who, like, oh, no, I can get you into this place. My cousin's nephew's brother's uncle's best friend's college roommate.
You guys ever seen that Star Wars parody Spaceballs?
Oh, yeah. We did
that. That is my
brother's cousin's nephew's former roommate.
Yeah, that is my favorite movie of all time.
We did a watch along to it. Because I
fucking love Spaceballs, bro.
Well, it's one that I grew up off of with my dad. He was a big Mel Brooks guy. He loved anything.
Too.
No, and he loved anything Star Wars, so we put it on when I was a kid. And, man, it's been like it was a staple in my house for a long time, and I didn't watch it after high school throughout the years. And then when I ran into Austin, we were talking about movies, and he brought that one up because he was a Star Wars fan. And I was like, oh, shit, I haven't seen that in years. So we watched it again for an episode. And I got to tell you, man, like, when we started this, it really was just a hobby. And it kind of is, technically, because we've made like $30 off of this in the 4 years we've been doing it. So it's not a moneymaker at all. But that's kind of the intent that we want to take it, because we're like, you know, this is purely for fun. And that's how we treated it at first. And then when I started getting serious with it, Austin and I started bringing people on, and then we made all these contacts. And now we're, you know, getting good views and shit. I'm like, okay, I guess we'll stay around, because ultimately you don't want to stick with something if there's no result. And the result for us is it's mixed. It's usually, you know, like, some are good, some are bad. Some episodes, dude, have like one view for 6 months, and then the other ones get more, and then that one slowly catches up. I've learned to not look at the views, for one. Never look at fucking views. That shit just fucks with your head, because you want that instant satisfaction. And I'm like, no, because I refuse. And then literally 5-6 days later, oh, good, we got 29 views to start. Like, I'd rather that, you know.
So too, like, you know what I mean? As long as people engage and stuff like that, I've always said, like, if I had like one or two people that listen to the show religiously, like, I'd keep going. You know what I mean? Oh, the fact that they're out there that really looks forward to your content, that's awesome. You know, I've never experienced anything. I don't have a personal, like, IG account and stuff, So yeah. The only thing I've ever used, I mean, I've had them in the past, but I don't have them anymore. But since I've hopped back on it with the show and stuff and had like engagement with like people talking about the show or certain things, so it's been really cool. And like I said, I wasn't really for this when we started. I was just like kind of like how you were. I'll just do it as a hobby. We'll fucking knock a couple episodes out, see how we feel, and after that maybe we'll call it. But I've actually taken off with this, man, and like I always look forward to just meeting new people that, you know, engage the show. I appreciate the people that really want to be a part of the show and stuff like that. So, and that's what I'm finding more interesting is about just having people on I've never met before, which I've, my show so far, I've had a bunch of people on that I've met, but like there's already a couple that I've like, you know, I've done guest spots already, like here and stuff like that. And I'm, now that I'm using the StreamYard now, I just did my first, you know, episode today with somebody who, you know, lives a little bit further from me and stuff. So the engagement that you get from this stuff is what really matters, man. If you can dig that, then this is something, you know, to keep pushing, keep pursuing, because the more you work at it, it's only going to get better. It can't get any worse. You know what I mean? The more you stay.
Oh, yeah, we have like, well, it's funny you mentioned it, man, because we have one person that he does listen to every single episode, and he was kind of the saving grace, because there was a time where during our second year doing this, we were like, it's taken off a bit, but our fans are like friends, you know?
Yeah.
Excuse me. And, Austin made us an Instagram page, and we weren't really doing much with it. And then I told him, like, hey, I'm going to fuck with it and kind of add a bunch of people and see where we go with it. And like over time, it just grew. But I came across a guy that added us, and his name is Ryan J. Sharp. Well, I always talk about him. That's his Instagram name. But he had been listening to our show since before he came in contact with me on Instagram. And after that, it was pretty much sealed. So, like, you know, he listens to every episode. He interacts with us all the time. And he's one of my personal friends on my personal account, because when you have people like that, that does give you kind of like hope in a sense. You're like, okay, so someone's listening, someone likes it. And he does, he's told his friends about us. So we've gotten a lot of followers from that. And we've had a lot of guests on that. Some of them I've actually befriended. One of them in particular, our boy Alex, he's on here probably every week. He's become kind of like a regular, and he was a guy we had on that.
The Bear of Texas.
Yeah, like we found him he found us. He reached out to me and was like, hey, I'm a big fan of your show and I'd like to come on. I run my own podcast. And he told me it was sports. And I was like, oh, that's perfect. Austin loves sports. This will be a decent episode. And it just kind of like it clicked. And then we had him on for more. And yeah, now I talk to the guy outside of this. You know, I've met a lot of people that I have no problem calling my friend or, you know, like a colleague. Like I've definitely started treating this like a business, but I still have fun with it too, because I'm a different kind of individual, man. I went into this untrained. I knew nothing about audio equipment. I just kind of started with my iPhone and just went from there. And
same here. Yeah.
Yeah. You just start from the bottom. And then like I started training myself how to do this. I didn't really take classes or any of that stuff. I just kind of learned the stuff on my own. And then over time I was like, yeah, maybe it's time to get some advice. So I would talk to people. Oh shit.
You stay loyal to your schedule, you know what I mean, with your content and stuff like that. I mean, it has no other place to go but up. And there's an audience for everything. There's for everything. You could fucking make a podcast about fucking crocheting. You will have every old lady in fucking America listening to your shit for fucking years to come. There's an audience for everything. But like I say, as long as you keep, I've always said, as long as you keep loyal to your content, you just keep, you know, pumping things out weekly or whatever your schedule is. It's you know what I mean? It just keeps throwing that shit out into the algorithm, and it eventually finds your audience for you. And like you said, you've made like, you know, a couple personal friends off it so far. But you know what I mean? That's how it is. I've seen some analytics where it's like, I follow this one guy. He made a reel on Instagram, got really popular. It had over 1 million views.
God damn. I only wish for that.
It got 1 million views. So that means 1 million people saw it. 18,000 liked it. And only, I think it was like a couple thousand followed him from it. You know what I mean? Over 1 million. It's easy. So with numbers like that, you got to understand that it's like, it's one of those, it's easy to like something, it's a little bit harder to get somebody to comment on your stuff, and it's even harder for you to get them to push the follow button.
Oh, but fuck yeah.
To get somebody to do that, man, like I said, it's even if you get one a day or one a week, one a month, that's a victory in itself, man, because I'm sure you look at Reels, TikTok, something like that as you're scrolling through. It's easy to like it and scroll to the next one, but how many of those do you actually see that you're like, oh, that's cool, like it, I'm gonna follow them too, and then follow, you know what I mean? You just usually 90% of the time, I'm sure you just like and then swipe up, right? I mean, I do it all the time.
Yeah, like, man, I don't typically subscribe.
For me to like, oh, this guy's pumping out good shit, I'm gonna follow him, you know what I mean? It's harder to do that. It's easy to get the likes, a little bit harder to get the engagement, but even harder to get the follow.
It is, man. It's something that, like, I remember I met an influencer out on the street when I was working, and I asked him, you know, some advice. I was like, you know, what do you do to get your numbers? Because this guy's drawing in, like, in between 32K and 50K, sometimes 100K on some videos. I'm like, how did you get that? And he's like, well, it's years of dedication. But he told me the one big thing was that he liked to go on all these fucking apps, and he's like hardcore against social stuff. He does not like it at all, but he knows he has to have it. He uses it for inspiration. He's like, you know, I look at these videos that kids look at these days and to see like what's trending and figure out what can I grab from that, because he's an older dude. He's in his 40s, and he's like, dude, I'm not gonna lie, what's trending sucks, but you can find stuff from it and relate that to your shit, hashtag it properly, and then boom, people are looking at your shit too. Especially if you're talking about someone famous or a hot topic and you hashtag that, that becomes fucking like big overnight. I mean, I did it not even as a trial. It was just kind of, we'll see how it goes. You know, like I remember we were doing an episode talking about the whole Kyle Rittenhouse thing. And I just, all I did was hashtag Kyle Rittenhouse, and bam, dude, like overnight thousands. I was like, okay. So, I mean, that's some progress. And I learned that's because people like talking about or hearing about the most fucking ridiculous shit, especially when it's something that's, you know, worldwide trending. Like right now, the whole potential TikTok ban, that's something that everybody's talking about, and it's arguably a trending thing. And that's something that if you're not talking about it, you're crazy, in my opinion, because it's something that's worth talking about. I mean, me personally, dude, I fucking, my take on this, yeah, I hate TikTok, dude. I hate TikTok. I think it's fucking stupid. I've been getting into battles with people for like months on TikTok that they love to comment and talk shit, dude. And like, they won't put a profile picture up. They just run their mouth and they talk about views and likes. And to me, it's funny because I'm like, dude, TikTok, and it even says in the fine print, is a private company that is essentially designed for people like these individuals, people that can't handle real world remarks and people that can't express themselves freely. So it's made for these people that have been conditioned to think that that's something to brag about. I'm like, dude, this is a small platform. Mm-hmm. It's big in the sense that millions of people use it and it's the most popular one. But when you look at the way it's set up, the rules and shit, you're like, this is a small platform to be sitting here going, oh, this, like, no one gives a fuck, dude. TikTok is kind of below, in my opinion. It's stupid as fuck. But at the same time, I'm on the side of the room where it's like, how can you... Who are we to say what can be banned? Because that is a form of art, and it is a private company. But I don't know.
From what I think, it is just I don't. I think the U.S. is afraid just because it's like a China
thing. Yeah,
they're selling our information or something. And I guess that's the. I think that essentially, I think that's what the issue is with it. Is America is not. They're butthurt that they can't own a piece of it. It's all China has the say so, and anything that happens in TikTok in America can't.
Well, here's the problem. So, say you live across the street from your neighbor, right? And you and your neighbor have been fighting for weeks, and it's about to come to blows, and you're both really angry at each other. Would you willingly give that neighbor access to the data of your children? Or would you see that as a threat to your children?
Right. Which,
because there are no private companies in China. There are none. ByteDance must give all of that information, all of their logs, all of that data to the Communist Party anytime they ask. It is essential that TikTok not be banned, but not that data not be held by a company that is completely liable and under the beck and call of the Chinese Communist Party, the government of China, which is a direct adversarial, and I would argue the most dangerous and most chief adversarial threat to the United States. That is the problem.
Well, and it's scary as fuck, dude. Like, I hate even using it. I'm at a point where I'm questioning us having it because, yeah, our data's getting sold. And I've proven with videos on there that I wouldn't say we're shadow banned, but TikTok, they pick and choose what information gets the most likes. Like, we can't. TikTok is fucked up, dude. We can hardly break like 300 views on a fucking video. And I think it's because they've looked at some of our earlier shit and we're like, okay, go ahead and drown that. Let them post it and a few people can see it, but we're not going to let them fucking go viral. That's how far of a role they play.
So we recently just kind of jumped on TikTok only because of the algorithm, you know what I mean?
Right.
The randomest video has the potential to just get viral for no reason.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like I said, we used it mainly for promotion. We don't push the following for it. We don't say, hey, follow us on TikTok or anything. We use it straight for the promotion. And like every video I post like one clip per episode like that we do and stuff. And for some reason, our algorithm gets like at least 700 an average.
Right.
And then it was like 700 for like 3 weeks straight. It dropped to an average of 250 for the next four. And then the recent one I put got 1,800.
Yeah, dude, it's weird how they work. Like most of our videos can't break three. We're at like 250. We have a few that are about, well, our reels, like here's the thing.
Way better.
Oh yeah, dude, YouTube, way better, dude. We have some videos on YouTube that are like at 56K.
Oh shit. And
yeah, dude, like YouTube is way better. But YouTube's also kind of a Nazi. Like they've definitely targeted some of my fucking clips and we're like, no views. Well, but yeah.
A lot of those ones that get really suppressed are when I go on controversial rants. They go, thank you.
Austin, I was just telling Tony about your fucking Beyonce classic blow up, man. That shit is.
it just was made me so mad because I was excited because she's done such good stuff in the past. I was so excited. And it's just this like pre canned, like crunchy peanut butter nonsense. That's just like.
You know what you were saying though, it's fucking true. I mean, you can't just write a song and just throw Texas references in it and call it country. I mean, that's not a country song.
it made me so sad because that song came out the same day that Randall King, if you haven't heard Randall King, he's I think probably I would pound for pound the best country artist in the game right now, released his song. And Randall's song is so good, and her song is so bad that it compounded with my. I was disappointed. I had like a bipolar-esque high and low to start the day. I was so upset.
It reminds me of and I'm probably butchering this movie quote, but that movie, The Devil's Rejects, when what's his name? The Otis character is fucking with one of the people they have hostage, some dude who likes to brag about how he shook hands with Johnny Cash. If you've seen this movie, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But there's a part when he's like, I thought you said you were like this big country singer. And he looks at him. He's like, you're nothing but a city faggot with a cowboy hat. Like I said, I'm probably butchering that movie line, but that's pretty much how it came out. And I was just like, we were talking about that. And I heard that song and that's exactly my thought. I was like, no, she's just a celebrity that wants to do something fun.
I mean, and those are facts about that though.
Oh yeah, man, like I don't think that it was good at all. I mean,
it's just the fact that they want an artist, you know, who's like,
yeah,
you said Beyonce sings and stuff, to be on a country station because she sang country lyrics. But I mean, take any country singer, if he wrote a rap song, would he be played on the rap stations?
Right.
No. And the thing is, I know, and I'm not mad at Beyonce, because I know this wasn't Beyonce who did this. I'm mad at record labels. Yeah. I guarantee you, when her country album comes out, it's going to have 9 great songs, 2 okay songs, and then that piece of shit. And it's because she wanted to do it, and the record label said, no, we can't market that. Which, are you kidding me? It's Beyonce. she could read the telephone book and she'd sell a billion copies. Yeah. But they go, oh, we can't sell that. So you need to give us something we can sell. And so she, I bet you, she walked in and said, give me some Nashville sewer water. Let's mix it with Morgan Wallen's latest trash. Let's throw a little Texas into it because you know I'm from Houston. And that should chart on country radio because country radio doesn't care about country music. They haven't since the 2000s. Because they haven't since Garth Brooks. They're chasing Garth Brooks. They're always going to chase Garth Brooks. You're not going to get Garth Brooks, goddammit. He's once in a generation. And right. he broke the planet, okay? Shania Twain and Garth Brooks broke the world. There's only two. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's this Morgan Wallen with his mullet that looks like he just came out of a washing machine. Like he got stuck in there, tried to go play hide and seek, got stuck. Or if you're trying to rip off this Kane Brown dude, it's like at a Kane Brown concert, a steel guitar is as worthless as a screen door on a submarine. It's just, like, what's happening? But these are the people they're going to push because they want to push to get up the pop charts. Because the truth is, it is easier to chart on the pop charts than it is in the country charts. Because to chart in country, you have to be talented. You have to know what you're doing. You have to be able to play instruments. You have to have an ear for music. Well, on the pop chart, you can take the same song that was recorded in the 80s and the 70s, the 60s and the 80s. You can sample it, put trash wordy lyrics over top of it, and then you can start saying, I'm happy, I'm feeling all right. And ripping off the song because I have no creativity. And everybody goes, oh, remember that song? Remember Blue? Remember Dancing because we're old now? Remember Drake? Remember the old days? And then it charts because people are like, I can't. Because some people who are like, oh, yeah, this is good music because it hits a little piece of my brain that like reminds me of when I was happy and I had potential and I could do something in my life before I was an absolute fucking loser. And all I did all day was like flip cheeseburgers.
Flip cheeseburgers.
A. And B, there's another group of people that go, this is so bad. Let me go back and figure out this is true. And then it stacks up and you go, oh, look, you charted. You got a number two song and you did zero work. You spent an hour in a writing room. You failed at that. Congratulations. So you did the littlest work possible and you were rewarded for it. Why would they not keep going? And then the record label comes to anybody who wants to take a step out, who wants to change anything, and go, no, you need to create what you created because you have to make us money. And the way that these recording contracts are set up, if the recording contract is, we're going to give you $500,000 to make this album. But that's not, they're not giving $500,000. You have to pay every penny of that back before you even make a penny. So they have these artists by the balls and say, you can't do anything but what we say. And that's why Music Row in Nashville is destroying country music. And by proxy, they're dismantling pop music because even the pop stars don't want to make pop music anymore because it's full of just abject garbage.
You can honestly tell.
From things like 10 years ago to today, everything different. It's evolving. And you know what? When our kids are our age, they're going to talk about the music of today as their classics. And their kids, you know, our grandkids will be the ones just changing shit. Shit's just changing. It's going to all sound fucking weird, off and shit like that.
I've got a little brother. And he just turned 18. He listened to older music now because the problem is the fact that the Black Eyed Peas were popular and made millions of dollars when on tour is detrimental to the entire of the modern music. The fact that Will.i.am was famous, the fact that Will.i.am had a job, the fact that Will.i.am didn't work at a used car dealership and instead recorded music with Fergie is just proof, blatant, at large, that music sucks on a mainstream.
Yeah.
Dude, like, my daughter is stuck on this fucking Taylor Swift kick, which sucks. God. Yeah, dude, it blows. And I'm like slowly getting her to go away from it. But it's going to take some time because she's only 9 and she's at that point where every kid talks about fucking Taylor Swift and the goddamn.
I had no quarrel with Taylor Swift. I had no quarrel with that woman. But the second she got introduced to football and the fucking NFL just fucking shoved her down everybody's fucking throat, man.
I can't stand her.
I can't.
Yeah, dude. I am going to die on this hill and Tony knows. Taylor Swift is one of the very few people.
All right, it's time to end the show.
In music now, that deserves the respect she's getting. This woman writes her music. This isn't a woman going into Nashville or going into New York, getting a bunch of computer-generated dweebs who all graduated from liberal arts colleges to write shitty music. She's writing this music. She's writing the words. She's writing the she's writing the musical arrangements. She's helping play the music. She's involved in every step of the music. And you cannot like her music. I don't like her new music. But she and Post Malone and a couple others deserve what they're getting because they put in the work. Taylor Swift didn't get big all of a sudden. Taylor Swift put in the work. She played bars. She played county fairs. Then she got discovered. She started small. She started on radio because it's how you did it back then. And she built a ramp. And then this woman had enough respect for country music to say, Red is my last country album. I'm not disrespecting anymore. And released a pop album and said, look at this. And she's now the biggest star ever. And I don't get why we villainize Taylor Swift, because that's the kind of artist we want. She shuts up about politics. She doesn't get involved usually with political processes. She doesn't stick her nose where it doesn't matter. She makes music. She works hard. She writes her own music. She creates and she creates stuff outside of her label. She fights the music label. She fights for other artists. She gets contracts negotiated that are favorable. She buys artists out of bad contracts and puts them into better contracts. And she advocates. I don't get this hate that a bunch of people have on Taylor Swift. It's because the right does this the same. The left goes, ooh, look how fun Taylor Swift is. Ooh, she's a demi-dem, and she loves Joe Biden. So everybody who loves Taylor Swift should vote. The Republicans do the same bullshit. Oh, look at this mean. Look at this horrible white girl who's blonde, who just fucking who's sings blonde. Music. Look at her. She hates America because she didn't endorse Donald Trump. And the right gets just as many clicks from I hate Taylor Swift as the left gets from I love Taylor Swift. It's on both sides. She gets way too much praise. She gets way too much hate. It's nonsense. And it's all about this media narrative that this one person, and it's happened. It happened to Michael Jackson. It happened to Elvis. It happened to Aerosmith. It happened to the Beatles. She's reached that level. And I'm going to die on the hill that this poor, leave this poor woman alone.
For me personally, everything you said is correct. She's done everything that, like you said, wrote her own music, all this stuff, very popular. She's 100% real when it comes to that. I just want, I want my football. I got to have it. And it's honestly not even all her fault. I know it's the NFL doing it.
Yeah.
But for me, football is my getaway stuff. So when I'm trying to watch a game and I got like the shot of Taylor Swift every time Travis Kelce fucking blinks, it's too much for me. For her, when it comes to an artist, I don't doubt her in anything that she does, but my God, she's got to be separated from the NFL to like the music industry, at least.
Yeah.
That's something I hold sacred and stuff to the point that,
but the big thing here is I don't like either. I really hate tuning into rated talk shows about football. And I'm like, they're like, oh, we're going to talk about Michael Penix today, which everybody out there is interested. Michael Penix is the best quarterback in the draft class. Don't draft out Caleb Williams. But, and then half these episodes are about like, oh, Taylor Swift did this. And I don't get people mad at her. She's going to a football game. She should have the right to go to a football game.
She does. And she, I mean,
no one tell these producers to knock it off. And it will. Next cycle, They're either going to be broken up, or this like bullshit magic that's happening is going to go away. And all those 12-year-old girls who think they like football right now are going to go through this offseason and have to learn a bunch of new names on the Chiefs, because the Kansas City Chiefs like forgot free agency happened or something.
It's honestly the media shoving her down everybody. So yeah, that's what's causing the hate. Like, for me, I have a second Instagram account that's not, it's a burner account. I use it only to follow news stuff that I can gather for the show and episodes. I follow this one, and I swear to God, every time I look at it, it says breaking news. You know what breaking news is? It's like 9/11 shit. Like,
yeah,
that's what it's supposed to be. Yeah.
But this is breaking news. Taylor Swift whispered in another player's ear after the game. Click the link below to find out what she said. And it's something stupid like, you did a good job.
Yeah.
Breaking
news. Man? Taylor Swift ate a brat.
Yeah. Like that's what's driving me crazy about the whole fucking thing. And it sucks, because like I said before this, I had no quarrel with her, but I'm just, it's the media is driving me to a point where every time I hear her name, I'm fucking cringing, man. I'm fucking losing it. Breaking news, all this shit. She, like you said, eating a fucking apple. She's walking. She's fucking, it's too much.
My issue with her is this. I get that people think she's talented. I don't think she is. However, you shouldn't discredit someone for working hard. But again, that's the equivalent to saying Hulk Hogan wasn't a good wrestler, but he worked hard to get there and he was good with the crowd. That doesn't mean he was actually a good wrestler. It just means a lot of people liked him.
But he's, that's literally a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest superstars in WWE. That's a really bad reference.
Arguable. Arguable. And like, I love Hulk Hogan, Tony, but arguable.
The music was his. See, here's Tony's big thing. If anybody, if like 51% of people like something, Tony's natural reaction is, I hate it. I can't be like everybody
people,
else.
Because most people have shitty taste in movies and music. Look at the movies
like,
we get.
Like the Marvel. The stage 1, 2, and 3
trash.
Of Marvel. They're fantastic movies.
Trash.
Almost all of them outside of the Thor movies are fantastic. But 51% of people kind of like it, so Tony has to say he hates it. Or
actually, 90% of people like it, and that shows me how dumb 90% of people are to think
of movies. Or like 99.9% of people all agree that Man of Steel is a garbage film. It's not Superman, but Tony will
defend that. Those are kids that don't read comic books.
You ain't never read a comic book where Superman snaps a dude's neck. I have. No, you have.
Yes, I have. I have it actually in my box where all my comics sit that I haven't touched since, like, I don't know, 2008. But, yeah, I don't trust the general public, man. When people are raving about Batman, but they're not talking about a smaller film, it does make me question shit a little bit. I'm like, eh. Sometimes the smaller film is better, and I've found that a lot of the best shit is the shit that not everyone gets in a crowd and talks about. But eventually everything becomes popular. I mean, dude, I liked Walking Dead for the first season, and then all these people came out of the blue and started liking it, and I still liked it, but by season 3 I got bored because I could tell that they were kind of just like slowing that progress down, because I think they figured out 2 seasons later, lightning in a bottle, we can keep doing this shit. People love it. We don't have to follow the fucking comics, because God forbid we actually try. And we could just make a ton of money off of it. More and more people are tuning in. And that's where I started feeling like it was stale. I was like, God damn it. Now we have spinoffs. I knew we were going to get like a multiverse or some like boring thing, because that was cool for a while. But it's like boring as fuck now. This whole cinematic universe for anything sucks. And I don't blame Marvel for that. If anything, Marvel should get the credit, because not only did they start that, they cashed in on it. They made more money, arguably, than anybody ever that tried that concept. But because they did it, we now got all these carbon copy films in the industry. Goes back to what I was saying about John Wick. I love that fucking movie, dude, but what happened when we got John Wick? The sequels, and then we got stupid movies like Nobody, The Beekeeper, movies that were about dudes that were extracting
like Monkey Man or something that's supposed to be like it or some shit?
It's something similar to that. Yeah, like we get all these carbon copies because one movie does so good and everyone likes it. Then they're like, fuck it, we can shell out more of these. And then it gets boring quickly. Like, mark my words, there is fatigue for superheroes right now, but give it some time. Give it a couple years. It'll come back, dude. It'll reach its height.
I hope DC makes a comeback.
People are just tired of shitty comic films. That's all it is.
Yeah, the problem is they suck.
Right. Once Deadpool comes out, dude, once movies like Deadpool or whatever like future film you can think of comes out, those movies will reignite that. Because what's going to happen is they're going to show you, hey, this is probably what we should have been doing. And the fans are going to be like, yes, that's what we wanted. And they're going to go in that direction.
That was DC's downfall. As soon as they did, Marvel did like Multiverse and had the Avengers out, it almost seemed like DC rushed.
They rushed.
They got caught with their pants down. They're like, we got to do that. And we can't take 10 years like Marvel did. We need to do it in 3 years.
Like, we need it now.
And the problem was they hired a director who didn't understand these characters and screwed it.
And it sucks because I like Marvel, but I am more of a DC fan. I feel like I love Batman, you know, Superman shit. Like, I love the DC side, and it was kind of just.
I like DC, but not so much the movies. It kind of depends.
The thing is, DC has the best heroes. They have the best characters. They just consistently. The problem is, the reason why DC characters are so great is because they stand for a certain individual thing. And that character is the same no matter what. What these movies fail to do is make that character that one thing. So Superman is like, no matter what happens, no matter how bad life is, there's always hope somewhere. We're always going to find a way. Humanity, that's what's great about humanity. No matter what happens, we'll find a way. That's Superman. He's a shining light in a world of darkness. Then you get Man of Steel, and it's Superman crying half the movie, crawling around sad and angry the whole movie. That's the problem. Batman, when they try to do Ben Affleck, Batman is a world. I don't care what you think. The world kind of sucks, but because the world sucks, it can make you a better person. Then the entire Ben Affleck line of Batman is, the world sucks, so I'm going to suck. People are killing people, so I'm going to run over them with my car. I'm going to shoot them with a gun.
Do it.
And that's why the Green Lantern was really bad with Ryan Reynolds, because they're like,
the thing was trash.
And what people get wrong about Green Lantern, Green Lantern's not about hope. They talk about hope all the time. It's about standing up to brave. It's that classic line of bravery is not what you do, and is not being afraid. It's what you do when you're afraid. And that's what Green Lantern is. Green Lantern is about bravery in the face of absolute terror. And that's nowhere in that movie. That's why that movie sucks.
I think it just looks terrible. The CGI, all that shit's fucking awful.
The floor to ceiling, that movie is the worst. One of the worst superhero movies ever made. But at the core of it, the reason why Marvel can get away with like tweaking their characters, because Marvel has always tweaked their characters. Captain America hasn't stood for one thing for his entire existence. Mr. Fantastic has stood for one thing his entire existence. But DC's characters, Superman, Batman, Aquaman, these people have stood for. Aquaman is all about duty. It's why the first one is so good. It's him finding out that your duty to your people is what's important. This second one sucks ass because it's not about duty anymore. It's I am selfish and I want to do this, so I'm going to do it anyway. And it leads to people dying. And you go, shit, that's not what Aquaman is, you fucking morons. Can one of you sit down and read a synopsis of the comic book before you write something? Or does everybody sit around and jerk each other off and...
See, I always thought Aquaman was for the gay people, and then I found out I was a bigot, so there's that.
I mean, it's like the comics are out, the script is already written, you know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah.
Just read the comic and go, okay, that's interesting. We're not going to do that. And just
I know. That's why I've...
It's because people Because the problem is, like, so for instance, we hired Josh Whedon to make a movie. So this is what Josh Whedon does. Josh Whedon goes, bring me every, say we were to hire Josh Whedon to write a new Spider-Man movie. He sits down and says, bring me every Spider-Man comic book you've ever read, and I will read it. And he reads it. And instead of reading it, like, he just flips pages, goes, okay, swing upside down, kisses lady, eats cheesecake, likes pizza, is smart. I understand Spider-Man. Now, we're going to take an extremely attractive man. He's going to be in a love story because kiss girl. He's going to deliver he's going to own a pizza shop because like pizza. He kind of smart, so he's going to figure out tax code. Spider-Man. That's what Christopher Nolan did. Christopher Nolan said, bring me every Superman comic you've ever seen. And he reads it. He goes, And he goes and he reads like old. He reads.
None,
like,
of the stuff you see on screen is from Christopher Nolan. We've already debunked that.
He reads Dark Knight. And he goes,
all that shit was taken out of the screen.
Okay, look, Superman strong. Superman powerful.
Superman boring. We got to make him better.
Superman have great burden. We give spot. I got Superman here. He very sad because great burden. He's scared to hurt people. He loves
Superman's boring. Superman. It's not much of a loss. Superman's fucking boring. It's not much of a loss.
Anytime I've ever been in a movie theater, I always give it a chance and just watch it through. But I almost fucking walked out of Superman versus Batman. When they were fighting each other, and the whole fact that they became friends over having the same fucking mom's name.
Why right.
Say her name? That was some stepbrother shit. That was like, did we just become best friends?
I even tried Sleuther.
Yeah, let's do it. It's like, that shit was so bad.
I tried waiting for the director's cut, and it's actually worse. I used to say it was good, but then I'm like, nah, it's much worse. Because here's the thing, I'm a big Zack Snyder fan, and his director's cuts are always better because the studios fucking suck. That's my opinion, dude. Directors are smarter than their studios are. But anyway, I had hope for that, watched it, and was like, nah, that was still really gay, if not worse.
They could have done it so much better. And like I said, there's plenty of comics where they fight.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of comics where they, like, you know, become friends in the fight and stuff and work together. But, like, to go that route was so bad. Out of all of them that we got the mom route.
Yeah, it was a rushed fight.
I'm smashing on DC, but you watch The Batman, the newest Batman.
That was good. I liked that one.
Batman, again, what's the core of Batman? Life sucks, but you can make it better.
Yeah.
No matter who, it don't matter that you don't have laser vision. You could be better than these people, and that's what's going to save the world, is you being better. And he's also like the greatest detective in all time. I don't know why every other Batman movie on the planet goes, we can't have him do fucking detective work. He's only the world's greatest detective. So this movie goes, let's try something different, okay? Let's try to get down to the core. So Batman is about, not about vengeance, it's about justice and processing grief properly and being a better person. Oh, and he's a detective. What if we did that in a movie? And you're like, holy shit, this movie's fucking fantastic. What happened? Oh, yeah, we got down to what the core of the character is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's important in these DC movies. You can't go, Superman's boring. Let's make him cool by turning him into an emo goth chick with a septum piercing.
Box office numbers say otherwise.
Yeah, dude, the Jurassic Park movies have a bunch of money, and those movies are all shit.
Same with Marvel. They got a ton of money.
Yeah, but their big ones are good.
No, I will admit that. Like, I do like the first Avengers, but I don't think I really watched a lot of them after that. I saw some, like, over time, and some of them I've taken an interest to.
Yeah, a lot of the ones I've disliked. I down and forced him to watch Winter Soldier.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember
you're that. Sitting here, and you're watching Winter, you're not leaving.
I liked that one, and I liked Civil War, too. That was pretty cool.
That was good.
But, yeah, I just haven't, like, by then I already had fatigue because I had been watching superhero films since I was a kid, man, and, like, I watched a lot of the Dark Horse comic movies and Image comic movies and shit. I watched a lot of the lesser known ones, and I was like, those are cool. Those are like the rated R ones and shit. But by that time, you know, right around the time I graduated high school back in 2012, I had seen The Dark Knight Rises, and that was kind of like my last hurrah for a while. I was like, yeah, I'll watch all these other movies later, because that's so much of them were already coming out.
But after so, Endgame, it really went downhill quite a bit.
Yeah,
the shows are actually still – that's the problem. I think the biggest problem is that I think Disney was so desperate to make Disney Plus work that they took all their good shit and threw it on Disney Plus as TV shows. And now they're just like in a scrapyard trying to find good stuff for movies. But I don't know.
Yeah, after Endgame, it's almost like they hyped it up so much to where it's like they built up Endgame so much that we were all fucking crazy for it. We were ready for it. This big Infinity War, all this shit. Once Endgame ended, it almost seemed like everything kind of was like, what do we do now?
Yeah, we've been building this for 20 plus years.
Yeah, they had all these ideas for like stuff, but it's just like, how do we go about that? Like, how do we build up another Thanos character with the hype that we did this with that? And it's like the Marvels bombed, the fucking Madam Web's bombing like the hardest now.
Madam Web might be the worst. I take it back. Green Lantern's not the worst superhero movie.
Madam Web is, I think, on record the worst.
All the people that were bitching about Morbius need to fucking issue an apology, because Madam Web is terrible, 100%. Dude.
Even the actress girl, I forget her name.
She wanted none to do with it, dude.
She pretended like she wasn't even in it now.
She was like, that thing was trash.
Who, the BDSM lady?
No, what's her name? She's from...
Yeah, Dakota...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Johnson. Stupid, Dakota Johnson. Yeah, that was the BDSM lady from 50 Shades of Grey. That's how I remember her, too, unfortunately. But we have hit the end of the road, unfortunately, guys. Actually, we went over, which was pretty nice. We haven't done that in a while. But before we go, I'd like to take this time to tell Steve, again, thank you, and to give you this time to plug your info, let the listeners know where they can find you.
All right. So, I mean, if anybody, wants to check us out, We Are The Mess Podcast. We are on Instagram as that. We Are The Mess _podcast. Like I was telling the guys earlier, we talk about pretty much everything. What you just heard today is a little, taste of what we do too. But we dive into current event type things. We like to discuss video games, movies, everything all around and stuff like that. And we've got our own debates and stuff. Of that stuff. But We Are The Mess Podcast. We usually, since football's over, we usually kind of upload every Tuesday. Probably going to have a little extra episodes here and there now, because now that I'm, getting guests on through the StreamYard, I want to start knocking some guests out. If you want to jump into our show, I recommend listening to our most recent stuff. And if you like it, dive a little deeper into it, because I would say our first couple episodes, I'm not a big fan of, just because we're new. We're getting used to the kinks and stuff like that. There's a lot of ums and uns, but we're in rotation. We're in the mix right now, so we know what we're doing. I feel like it's a lot better now than it was in the earlier days. We're a lot more on track with it, I would say. So if you're interested, listen to the most recent stuff, dive a little deeper if you get more interested, and drop us a follow. We Are The Mess. I'm Steven. I go by Steve Jeezy as my entertainment name, and my co-host Junior, who goes by Big JR. And you might like him, Austin. He's also a big fucking Cowboys fan too, so he cries a lot. And
Cowboys.
So yeah, right on, guys. It's a pleasure meeting you both, and had a good time today.
Absolutely, man. Would love to have you on again. And as always, if you guys like what you heard here and you want to check out more, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Please go find us on YouTube and hit that subscribe button. That is at The Great Girth Podcast, as well as on Instagram, fucking TikTok. But anyway, thanks again, guys, for listening. And Austin, as always, buddy, I will see you on the next one.
Adios.